middle school. You were taken with middle school.
Yes.
And developed a concept. Talk to me about that.
Well, we really got out on the cutting edge in a lot of aspects. My middle school included 6th through 9th grade. There were 600 kids at the time. It was north central Iowa. We developed such programs as continuous progress for kids, teachers in the major teams, math, science, social studies, taught half days, and they planned half days. We knocked out some walls for offices and so forth, and they rewrote the curriculum to fit the kids. We had about 40 of those kids who we called optional attenders. Those kids could go into a class or classes, and if they maintained a B-plus average, they didn't have to attend classes. They worked with one teacher. Mildred McElwain was her name. Mildred had been an English teacher that was just outstanding, but she was one of those ladies that scared the bejeebers out of everybody, including me. She coordinated those kids. They would go in, they would take the tests in the regular classroom, and if they passed continually, they would work with Mac, as we called her. She would give them assignments like develop a play on the Revolutionary War. And then they would have to do all the research. In other words, expanding their mind. Most of them, of course, were older, but occasionally 6th or 7th graders would sneak in to the top 42. I remember we had a standardized test in which we compared ourselves to the lab school at the University of Northern Iowa to see what the progress was, because obviously people were concerned. Their kids were running around. You know, there were no passes to get out of class. If you had to go to the bathroom, you got up and went, or if you needed to go to the office. But it was all business, and the kids monitored each other. So we were able to relax, become more democratic. During the course of the 3 years that I was there, the program was in operation. We had visitors from 22 states. I remember the assistant superintendent from Philadelphia came and looked at our program, and one of the comments he made when he was getting ready to leave, he says, "Oh yes, Eagle Grove, we spent a week there one night." It's one of those kind of situations where you had to go 30 miles to the nearest airport to get on any kind of plane. We had a good time. There were lots of visitors. We did a lot of, we thought, creative kinds of things. I backed off as being principal per se and became instructional principal, and I selected a fellow that happened to be head wrestling coach for the district of all things, but a really sharp guy by the name of Dave Hardy, and he handled the management part. I worked only on instruction and curriculum, so we had a dual principalship. And we had an advisory board of teachers that met once a week. We visited schools, and we took the parents and kids with us to visit innovative schools. Like, we went to St. Louis, among other places, and looked at innovations in those schools and come back to see if they would apply. The whole point is that during that time, we gained some notoriety, and probably my biggest pull as far as inviting me to speak was the fact I just stepped out of the classroom or the building that day or the day before, and I wasn't speaking from the position of being a college professor who read a book on innovation, but actually doing things, and so became a very popular speaker.
There you were pushing the envelope in many ways.
Too many ways.
And you did that for most of your career, I would think you would agree with. Mm-hmm. We'll get into more of that later, but there were always naysayers to your idea, I suppose.
Always, sure.
Right.
And legitimately.
Okay, legitimately?
Sure.
How would you handle that? I don't know if it's negativity or whatever. Here's somebody who wants to come along, meaning you, and wants to change something, and people don't like that.
Well, I think that most people are fearful of change because they feel like it's strictly experimentation. And to some degree it is, although I'll go clear back to my country school experience. And the first thing I discovered as an 18-year-old teacher was that if I taught 9 grades, 8 subjects a day, that was 72 subjects a day, which broke down to about 4.5 minutes. In other words, if I were going to do it structurally like that. So obviously, in the country school, what you did was group whoever was at a particular reading or arithmetic level together and work with them. To me, that made common sense. You're the one teacher and you do what you have to do structurally. Well, the same principle worked with the middle school. If we got kids of a common need or achievement range together and worked with them at that level, we didn't have bored kids on one end of the spectrum or overwhelmed kids on the other end in a single classroom. That's the whole basis. But the American public has structured in their minds the same school that was developed in 1840 that we have essentially still today in terms of grade levels, grading by age rather than achievement. 180 days, we're still letting out in summer to pick cotton, and that type of thing. And it's, of course, way out of tune. You know, I could go into a long lecture about ways that we should be changing and taking advantages of technology today.